This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Chapter 3. Polytheism, Shirk, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Lordship. The study of monotheism is incomplete without the study of its opposite, polytheism. It is a critical failure, an infidelity, and consequently a topic of importance which Allah attested to in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Verily, Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with Him in worship, but He forgives except that anything else to whom He pleases. And whoever sets up partners with Allah in worship, he has indeed invented a tremendous sin." Linguistically, shirk means a partnership, sharing, or associating, from the Arabic roots, sharaka. Islamically, it refers to the act of assigning partners to Allah, in whatever form it may take, whether implicit or explicit. The meaning in common English usage is as a transitive verb, to go stealthily or to evade the performance of an obligation for the purpose of calling others to Allah. This is useful as mankind has a responsibility to fulfill in asserting monotheism, implementing its benefits in our lives, and calling to it with patience. Polytheism, shirk in rububiyyah, is to believe that others, besides Allah, create or share control over His creation. This belief means that someone other than Allah can bring them benefit or protect from harm. A simple example of this type of polytheism is to believe an item or object brings good luck. People often have good luck rings or similar items they think will instigate good in their lives. Others tie unique strings around themselves or their children, believing that if they recite the Quran over the strings, the talisman will protect them from evil. However, only Allah can protect us from what we identify as evil, and we must seek His protection in ways He mentioned in the Quran, or the means which the Prophet ﷺ taught us in the Sunnah, prophetic tradition, because seeking protection is an act of worship. Types of polytheism, shirk in rububiyyah. One must identify two categories of polytheism concerning rububiyyah. They are as follows. 1. Polytheism, shirk by negation, ta'til. This is to deny the existence of Allah, either explicitly or implicitly. In some cases, atheism is the expression by an individual of purported non-existence of Allah, while the reality of His existence may be internalized in the individual. In other instances, His existence is claimed, but how an individual assimilates an understanding of Allah negates His existence, such as in pantheism. This is apparent in the saying, "Mother Nature," or actions based on perceived luck, divination, or astrology. Polytheism, by negation, exists in assertions of the European philosophical traditions, in those who subscribe to them, in the nihilism and infidelity that resulted. They build various intellectual innovations on the premise that attributes ascribed by theists to God are attributes derived either from human consciousness or from nature, and that God has no existence apart from the existence of human consciousness and of nature. In essence, this belief is the human worship of self. There are a few ancient religious systems in which God does not exist. Buddhism today has more than 500 million adherents. It is a movement that evolved from Hinduism with social reform characteristics. It was founded in the 6th century BC, during the same period as Jainism. In the 3rd century BC, it became the state religion, but was assimilated by Hinduism as an act to reduce the Hindu loss of social political influence. Buddha himself then became one of the idols in the Hindu pantheon. Buddhism disappeared from India, but became dominant in China and other regions of Asia. Most forms of Buddhism are built on the doctrine that there is no permanent creator who superintends creation and takes care of his creatures, a doctrine of fundamental importance within Buddhist religious philosophy, rather than a mere accretion acquired through historical accident. The pharaonic model is a negation of Allah by an individual claimant who has the material power and influence to install upon his or herself the rights of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that Pharaoh negated the existence of God and claimed to Prophet Musa, Moses alayhi salam, and the people of Egypt that he was the only true Lord of all creation. He said to Prophet Musa, Moses alayhi salam, Pharaoh said, if you take a God other than me, I will surely place you among those imprisoned. And said, I am your most exalted Lord. Polytheism, shirk, by association, is to believe that God or a supreme being exists, while believing that other lesser gods, spirits, mortals, heavenly bodies, or created objects share in his dominion or partner in his function. Such beliefs are commonly referred to by the theologians and philosophers as either monotheistic, having one God, or polytheistic, having more than one God. Although both forms are partnerships without right, polytheism, shirk, by association, is apparent in many subtle examples. 1. The Arab polytheists, mushrikun. The polytheists of Arabia believed in Allah as the sole creator and inherited his foundation from Prophet Ibrahim, Abraham alayhi salam. But they thought that intermediaries, idols, could bring them closer to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that they said, we only worship them, that they may bring us nearer to Allah in position. Indeed, Allah will judge between them concerning that over which they differ. Indeed, Allah does not guide he who is a liar and confirmed disbeliever. 2. Hinduism. Hinduism recognizes a supreme being whom they name as Brahman. He is omnipresent, omnipotent, but impersonal and abstract to the point of being unapproachable. Assuming Brahman is a name in reference to Allah, Hinduism falls into infidelity of polytheism, shirk, in rububiyyah, by describing and delegating Allah's creative, destructive, and preservative powers to a trinity of Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. As for Hindu polytheism, shirk, in worship, they assert that comprehension and approach of divinity can only be through intermediaries, because Brahman is incomprehensible to human capability. Swami Sivananda said, the mind which knows the external objects through the avenues of the senses cannot know the Atman or Brahman, because Brahman is the source for the mind also, and the mind is gross, inert, and finite. How can the finite know the infinite? The gross, impure mind cannot approach Brahman. Hindus use idols or lesser gods as a means of approaching an unapproachable divinity and a means of focusing in worship on what is uncontainable by the intellect and unfathomable by human reference. 3. Christianity. Christianity has many permutations which divide Allah into several entities, shaking in duality or trinity. Stricter monotheistic sects identify Allah as one and indivisible, but ascribe to him a son who inherits divinity. This is, of course, polytheism, shirk. 4. Extreme mystic Sufis. The veneration of saints, awliya, is not too far removed from Hindu beliefs through their statement and actions. These extremists establish that individual saints among the most pious can create life, decree death, and govern the earth and the universal functions along with Allah. Some of these extremists believe the souls of dead saints and other righteous humans can affect the affairs of this world even after their deaths. Adherents call upon the souls of the saints to fulfill their needs, remove calamities, and render aid to the supplicant. Their claim is that as individuals who are not pious, the means of approaching Allah is done through the pious, whether dead or alive. 5. Grave worshippers. Grave worshippers deserve this epithet because of their veneration of the inhabitants of the grave. This deviant belief is common in Hinduism, Christianity, and extreme Sufis who attribute to a human soul the divine ability to cause events in this life, even from its grave. Grave worshippers call on the dead and attribute to them knowledge and ability which only Allah can possess. The dead are unable to help their own selves. As for helping the affairs of the living, Allah does not need any intermediaries to hear or respond to the cause of his supplicants. Furthermore, what the grave worshipper ascribes to the dead of sentient awareness and interaction with the living is false. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And not equal are the living and the dead. Indeed, Allah causes to hear whom He wills, but you cannot make hear those in the graves." 6. Al-Qadariya. The Qadariya deserve the label of polytheists because they remove from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some of His attributes and ascribe it to humanity. This is a deviation in the area of preordainment. Their methodology in the first consists of negating preordainment over the actions of the servant, and they say that human desire and ability are independent of the ability of Allah. Their head was Ma'bad ibn Abdullah al-Juhani from Kufa in the last part of the praised era, the era of the first three praised generations. He learned denial of predestination, al-Qadr, from a Majan, Majusi, a man from al-Basra. The Qadariya were two main groups that become more than 22 sects. One group denies Allah's knowledge, and the other believes that everyone creates his own acts. This is contrary to what Allah said, "While Allah created you and that which you do." To Allah belongs everything, the good and that which we identify as bad. They have been described as similar to the Majans, Majusi, because of the duality which they use to describe the good and evil from preordainment. 7. People who claim the knowledge of the unseen. The claim of knowledge of the unseen is an act of polytheism, shirk, because an individual ascribes for his or herself an attribute that only Allah can have. They have given themselves some part of divinity. The Prophet ﷺ described involvement with a fortune teller as an affront to the natural order, and he disassociated himself. He said, "Whoever has intercourse with a menstruating woman or with a woman in her rare, or who goes to a fortune teller and believes what he says, he has disbelieved in that which was revealed to Muhammad." This person has earned a share of disbelief by transgressing what Allah affirmed in the Quran. that the knowledge of the unseen, ghayb, is exclusive to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Say, none in the heavens and earth knows the unseen except Allah, and they do not perceive when they will be resurrected." Unseen refers to knowledge of the created things that we cannot see in this life, such as angels, and knowledge of the unseen, future, which belongs only to Allah. The claim of having knowledge of the unseen is so serious that if a Muslim consults an individual who claims this attribute, his or her worship may be nullified. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever goes to a fortune teller and asks him about something, his prayer will not be accepted for 40 nights." This warning comes in a statement that does not contain the condition that the Muslim asks and believes the fortune teller. 8. The belief in the stars. Zayd bin Khalid radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah said, "This morning some of my servants believe in me and some disbelieve. As for the one who said, 'We got rain by the bounty and mercy of Allah,' he is a believer in me and a disbeliever in the stars. But as for the one who said, 'We got rain by virtue of such and such a star,' he is a disbeliever in me and a believer in the stars." 9. Worship of jinn. Allah referred to the crime of establishing the worship of jinn as a partner alongside the worship of Allah in the following verses, ayat. "On the day he gathers them all together, he will say to the angels, 'Was it you these people worshipped?' They will reply, 'May you be exalted. You are our supporter against them.' Really, they worship the jinn. Most of them believed in them." 10. Other forms. Many other acts of forms of worship are considered part of polytheism because of violation of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, such as reading horoscopes, coffee cup readings, palm readings, and belief in luck or omens. In the absence of knowledge, unfortunately, every culture produced its own set of mediums which indicate their polytheism, shirk, and Allah's lordship. The monotheistic position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Allah has not taken any son, nor has there ever been with him any deity. If there had been, then each deity would have taken what it created, and some of them would have sought to overcome others. Exalted is Allah above what they describe concerning him." This exceptional argument has bright and precise wording. The true God must have the attributes of creating and doing, giving benefit to his servants, and protecting the servant from harm. If there were another God with Allah, sharing his kingdom, then it too would be creating and doing. In this case, the partnership would be unacceptable. A power struggle would ensue in which one would be dominant, or one would withdraw with his part of creation, as the kings of the earth do when retreating and fortifying the lands they control. Then this scenario requires one of three possibilities: that each god withdraws with his creation and authority; two, that one of them defeats the others; three, that any and all lesser creators would be under the control of one who does with them as he wills, and the others would have no say in the matter. One would be their god, and they would be his servants, lorded over and subdued in every sense of the word. Such possibilities of partnerships or hierarchies in divinity, which are suggested in the man-made and deviant religions mentioned above, would certainly result in chaos, disorder, and instability in all of creation. The creation, however, has an order, intricate balance, and no uncertainty. Instead, everything is perfectly administered with a singular purpose. Administration of the affairs of the creation is evidence of the might and power of Allah. It is also evidence that there is no God of creation other than Him. The creator of the universe is one, Al-Khaliq. There is no Lord other than him, and no God equal to him. Just as the world can't have two similar creators, it is also inconceivable that there would be two gods to be worshipped. Assertion of oneness of lordship necessitates that we worship our Lord without associating any partners in worship of him. Among the greatest means of securing and protecting Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and establishing monotheism, Tawheed of worship, is to know and use our Lord's names and understand his attributes.